Good morning, everyone. My name is Jim Lawrence. It was my great pleasure to be serving this church when it passed its 100th birthday in 1995, working with a lot of you who are still here on many of the celebrations and the work that we did around history making at that time. I want to make, in my 5 minutes, one major sociological point about this church's role in the Greater Bay Area, and then give a couple of show-and-tell excursions of what we did to make additions to this sanctuary. This church has always had, even in Worcester's day, a very open-door policy in a way that in some ways exceeded the practices of many of the religious groups in the city at that time and anywhere. We all know that this was a place that did a lot of weddings at one time, but it was much more than that. There was a time when, in the 80s, when there were only three churches in town that had truly a welcoming, open door for people who were not practicing members of that faith for weddings and for funerals. And since then, that practice has begun to be much more popular in the Bay Area. But the Swedenborgian Church started that many decades ago. We calculated with the records we had extant that going back to World War II, there had been about 25,000 services of some kind in this room since the end of the Second World War. That's averaging over 400 a year, and that would be memorial services and weddings and baptisms and worship services and music programs and lectures. We had Professor Starr here in 1986. I think you've spoken here more than once, and you might not remember I set that lecture up. I don't look the same anymore. We haven't seen each other since then. But the sociological lesson is that this hidden away jewel has been given to the world and the culture at a high level for the standard practices of opening houses of worship in American history and in contemporary history. You walk around San Francisco and learn that the Swedenborgian Church has a name recognition value that rivals Grace Cathedral, rivals St. Mary's Cathedral, rivals Temple Emmanuel. Much bigger churches, much bigger synagogues, houses of worship. But the name recognition and the goodwill that's associated with this space is because of the unstinting sharing it with the world and culture that has gone on for so long, so that people have family members who have gone through significant passages here. One of the things with such a heavy use of the space created was that there was often too many people trying to get into events. So at the centennial year, we were looking for ways to accommodate the tremendous demands on the space that were occurring for us. And so there was always standing room only people coming along the north wall here underneath the Keith paintings. And it's okay to stand for a wedding, which a good wedding is only about 15 minutes. That's not too long to stand, because if you're standing over there, you just got there. You know, you haven't been sitting there for a long time. But for other types of services, it can be very uncomfortable. So we went to the studio of Jaap Romein in Emeryville and had these benches created. But it was with an artisan in that shop named Chris Wright. And we chose the Jaap Romein studio, one of the premier arts and crafts furniture making studios in the country today. He's up in Port Townsend, Washington. Is that they like to work with the live edge in the wood. So if you look at these benches, they're not cut straight across, but the artisan is following the grain to pick up the live edge in the wood. We preferred that approach philosophically because of the arts and crafts principles of following the live edge of nature as a teacher, of holding spirit and of bestowing revelatory capacities of life. And so that gave us not only another aesthetic enhancement in the sanctuary, but made a lot of people much more comfortable in crowded events. Another thing that happened along the way with the evolution of the worship program here was starting in the mid-20th century, music became for the first time a very important part of the church's life. The church had been designed not with any choir seating at all. There was a little pump organ over in this southeast corner, and there was no choir for decades. It only began in the middle of the 20th century, and there was a funeral home two-rank used organ that replaced the little pump organ that was put in that corner. And people tried to have, you know, we had chairs set up for a choir, or they did. I wasn't here in the 1950s. But as the choir grew, there was it was very crowded. So long story short, with the fabulous music program that has been a hallmark now, is one of the most talked about attributes of coming to the suite of Borgian for a sense of the sacred as the choir. We turn to Debbie Zita, one of the really legendary arts and crafts artisans who still has a studio here in the Bay Area to work on a solution for us to be able to feature the choir and make them comfortable. So this was a three-year project of using old-growth, naturally harvested Douglas fir to create these three choir benches that are all freestanding. They're on riser floors. These are not fastened to the ground. And for those who don't know, there's actually a fourth hidden seat here that pops up when it can be used. So for its 100th birthday, we wanted to give the sanctuary a facelift, so to speak, or maybe some, if to use plastic surgery's analogy, we maybe are going too far here, but to create some enhancements that were our gift to the church at its 100th year. So many of us, as we now are moving farther into history, and we want to keep this magnificent historic structure going. Aging is a beautiful thing in so many places of life. There's a dignity and a capacity for communicating the beauty of life as we see an aging process ripen, but we don't want to lose it. And I think that what many of us would like would be able to be feeling great at 100, but also to be given the compliment that we never ever looked better than we did at 100. So let's move on to the hard work of keeping this building serving the tens of thousands of people who want to come have meaningful experiences here, and hopefully we'll be here for a second centennial.